And Mike is the chief librarian. He's the individual that was hired after a national recruitment to run the library system in Glendale. And Mike came into Glendale. This is about 5-6 weeks into the job. So as you discuss the merit of this idea tonight as it's presented, please note that Mike is new to the city of Glendale and that this has been ongoing for quite some time. So Mike is kind of jumping into it, and he's been gracious enough to help out and discuss the topic. That all being said, I'll start the formal presentation now, and I'll go as quickly as I can, noting the time. Members of the board, and I have a script. I'll go through the script. Members of the board, if you are aware, over the past few budget planning cycles, every city department has been challenged to explore options regarding their service and programming levels and assets for which they are responsible. Our goal has always been ways to seek improvements while reducing operating expenses and maintaining good customer service. In our particular case, the Community Services Department is responsible for 118 different park assets. And these are what would consist of our libraries, our parks, our public housing, our bike trails, our retention basins, and so on. With regard to the library system, over the past few years, we have explored many concepts such as the adjustment of operating hours, the relocation of library facilities to storefronts, and or the co-locating of them to existing city facilities. At one point, as some of you may be familiar, we even explored closing down libraries. That never came to pass, thank goodness. Even so, we did explore a series of new management options, efficiencies, that over the past few years have saved about $1.4 million, all the while with no reduction in library services. We are very proud of this accomplishment. It's not been easy. We had to reorganize our working environment, and some folks have had to do some different things within the library, but we're very proud about it. Another opportunity that came to light recently would be to potentially partner with an institution of higher learning. It might generate one-time revenue to the city and also ongoing revenue to the city at no staff reduction. And what I'm specifically referring to is what you see here tonight is a proposal from Midwestern University to acquire this facility. In the meantime, we would transform this facility and move it to the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center. We would call it the Foothills Library and Technology Center. Before we kind of get into that, a couple more quick things. As I mentioned, this occurred about a year ago in February. So about February 2014, we did receive a letter from Midwestern University. It was sent to us by the senior executive management with an offer to possibly purchase the Foothills Branch Library. As with any formal such inquiry, it was important for us to exercise due diligence. We wanted to make sure the proposal is in the best interest or was in the best interest of the city. As such, Midwestern University did offer to conduct the first formal appraisal of the property. The first appraisal was valued at $3.4 million. Now, we looked this over and we said, you know, it is what it is, and we said it's important for us to make sure it is in the best interest of the city to go out and commission a second appraisal. We did this, and it came in, and it came in at about $4.7 million. The reason for the difference, they used different land use assumptions on the future use of this building, and that affects the valuation of the property. The end result of the second appraisal and the first appraisal was another letter we received from Midwestern University offering to purchase this facility for $5 million in cash. I'd also like to note that as a part of the due diligence we went through, we compared the formal offer from Midwestern University with the value of the building and property as determined by the Maricopa County Assessor's Office, and we also did look at the capital depreciation rate of this building. As a result of that analysis, it's been determined that in each of the different methods we use, the proposed purchase offer by Midwestern University of $5 million exceeds the current appraised assessed value of the building and the property. And that's just the way it's played out. As indicated, We have long considered different options and ideas with regard to the provision of library services in Glendale. What we intend to share with you this evening is one such option, one that represents a potential opportunity, may be viable should a decision be made to sell the Foothills Branch Library. Before we share the formal option with you, I've asked Mike, Mr. Beck, to share just a few minutes with the board and with the audience about the services that the Glendale Public Library currently offers. And with that, I'd like Mike to just briefly go through those slides.
Thank you, Eric. Can everybody hear
me? No.
Is that better? Perfect. Okay, good. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, members of the Library Advisory Board and the library advocates that showed up today. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here, and since being hired a couple months ago, I have made it a point to meet with all library staff at each of our three locations. The Belmont T. Branch and Store at downtown Murphy Park, the main library at 59th and Brown Street, and then the reason why we're here today, the Foothills Branch Library. As a whole, each of these three facilities make up our library system and are open to the general public a total of 111 public service hours per week. At these facilities, we offer access to books, DVDs, magazines, music, the internet, and conduct a variety of special events for our patrons through classes, special sessions, cultural experiences, and lifelong learning opportunities. We do what it takes to encourage literacy at all ages and in whatever format. We also offer a fourth branch library that is located on our website or the internet, where anyone with a library card can access it. Unlike the three physical branch libraries, our virtual website, our web-based library, is open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Glendale Library customers may access our website for downloadable items, searching our print collection, and logging into their account to check on title availability, fine balances, and reserving materials. We are also part of the Maricopa County Library District's Shared Reciprocal Borrowing Program, which is in essence a fifth type of library branch, albeit on a more regional scale. As you can see in this slide, there are 11 other public libraries that Glendale residents can access and use as part of our participation in this program. Depending on your location, these non-city libraries shown on the map are here within a 10-15 minute drive time of our municipal boundaries. For example, Glendale residents have access to the following non-city libraries. Peoria Libraries at Sunrise Mountain and their main library at 83rd Lee Road. Phoenix locations such as the Agave Branch and Juniper Branch are less than 6 miles away. And for our residents in far west Glendale and Luke Air Force Base, the Maricopa County Library District Library is located at the White Tanks Branch or the Fairway Branch are also available. We have been a member since 2012, and as a result, any Maricopa County resident, regardless of where they reside in the county, can get a library card from any municipality or the county library. For instance, a resident of Glendale will be able to get a card in Peoria, and vice versa. To summarize, membership in the Reciprocal Borrowing Program allows our residents additional library resources and has provided new sources of materials, books, and programming at no cost to the Glendale Public Library and the taxpayer. And that means that Glendale residents can access the services of any other library in Maricopa County, regardless where it is located. In addition to working on a regional basis for the provision of library services, we've also been tracking several national trends that have changed the traditional view of library services. These have had and will continue to have impact on the long-term provision of library services in Glendale. As this slide demonstrates, several of the following trends are occurring. We are seeing the integration and co-location of libraries into community centers and public schools. Local examples will include the Scottsdale Palomino Branch Library on Desert Mountain High School campus, the Chandler Public Library Hamilton Branch inside the Hamilton High School, and Avondale, Arizona has a joint use facility that provides multi-use classrooms and public safety offices for the Estrella Mountain Community College campus. Also, partnerships with institutions of higher education have occurred all over the United States. For example, in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Tidewater Community College partners with their public library, the Martin Luther King Jr. Library in San Jose, California, the university partners with their public library, and also locally in the cities of Scottsdale, Phoenix, Goodyear, and Mesa with the Alexandria Project and Arizona State University. Libraries are also offering job help hub classes, providing resume building and interview preparation programs for job seekers. Glendale has received numerous grants from the state for these types of programs, and they will continue to grow in prominence. The National Makerspace Movement includes creative and content-based programming for all ages that includes problem-solving programs, robotics, and 3D printing. Visitors to libraries also want a place to create rather than just to consume. Also, in STEM, and for my artistically inclined people, STEAM, stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. It is a national initiative that highlights 21st century skills for all ages that focuses on developing skills in these areas. Libraries are heavily invested in providing such programs to their citizens, and Glendale has received several grants to encourage its residents to develop the skills in these areas. And finally, the last two items on the screen. Technology is revolutionizing the way libraries operate. With the rise of consumer-driven media offered by private companies such as Apple and Amazon, citizens demand that our technology be state-of-the-art and to provide a variety of digital materials that include e-books, video streaming, databases, computer access, and more. As a result of the exploding demand of digital services and living in an always-connected world, it is also very important that our staff be competent or excelling in providing such services. Examples would also include San Antonio's Bibliotheque, all-digital library. One is open, a new one is being built, and a third one is planned for the end of 2016. Additional high-tech centers can be found in Chicago Public Library and their U-Media Center, and also in close by ThinkSpot and Mesa Public Library at their Red Mountain branch. Continuing on, as you can see, this slide shows how these trends are having a local impact on Glendale. As you can see, our electronic circulation has increased by 368% over the last four fiscal years, while our physical circulation has decreased 23% over the same time period. These are apples-to-apples comparisons, so these are hours reflective of our 111 service hours. Continuing that pattern for fiscal year 13-14, our website usage saw nearly 2.5 million customer sessions. This is a 22% increase in website visits, while our physical visits, nearly mirror, have decreased by 24%. Our website is basically our fourth library branch. Customers may search our catalog for the newest James Patterson book, research our databases for academic articles for their school reports, access their accounts, and reserve materials. It's important to note that this has occurred while the city's population has actually grown 3.6% over the same time period. These statistics and patterns are reflective of the digital world we live in, and libraries are also moving in this direction also. I'd like to turn it back over to Eric, who will continue with the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. You can still hear me? Okay, good. So, in response to the offer that we received from Midwestern University, and in response to these trends that we're seeing nationally that are starting to have an impact on library services in Glendale, what we're proposing is the transformation of this library facility to the Foothills Recreation and Aquatic Center, the space that's available there. And we're proposing to follow something along the lines of the Foothills Library and Technology Center. And we feel, in doing so, there would be a variety of immediate benefits that would occur. Staffing-wise, we would be able to increase the number of hours per week that the new library would be open by approximately 13. And that comes out to about 676 hours per year. That's a significant increase in the number of hours. We would purchase all new technology and surpass what is now available at the Foothills Branch Library. We have new computers, we have enhanced Wi-Fi, digital media readers, ThinkPads, a 3D printer, a green screen, and it would be made available to all those with a library card. There'd be a new youth library and technology room, a multi-purpose room for urban literacy and family programs, study rooms, and an area for adults to access the newest computer technology. We would have, since it's in the Foothills Recreation and Aquatic Center, there is a current on-site daycare program. It is fee-based, but there would be that option as well. And there is also a concession area, and we would have a reading area set up. We don't anticipate there would be any reduction to existing library programming. and we'll look to add more additional hours of operation. Remember, we're proposing to increase the number of hours per week by 13. That will allow more programming to occur, and we feel that is a very real possibility. There will also be no reduction to the existing rooms for group study sessions or library classes. The way the Foothills is currently set up is there are rooms available on the second floor of that facility, in addition to more private rooms if there were group study sessions that would take place. We would maintain, it is a transition, it's a big transition, but we would maintain a 35,000 book collection based on consumer demand. We would accomplish this through the use of new collections development software and would ensure that the best sellers and the most frequently used books are in the stacks. At the same time, just like we do now, we will continue to guarantee the delivery of any item that we don't have at that branch that's in our system delivery within 24 to 48 hours. That's our current place, and we would absolutely continue to honor that. And we would do that whether you ordered it from another branch or from your in-person through the internet at home. We would have that dropped off and made available. In short, we do envision a new and exciting library experience for our customers, one that would further capitalize on the success of the Foothills Recreation and Aquatic Center, and also one that would bring in new potential customers. Go to the next slide. Thank you. In addition to the technology and the state-of-the-art technology I spoke to, what we would do, if the question has come up, what will happen to the remainder of the books that are currently here that would not be able to be housed at the new site? And that's an excellent question. There's about 174,000 or so books currently in this facility here. The new site, we're looking to have about 35,000 or so. We obviously want to try to get more in there if that's possible, but we're saying 35,000 to be safe. What we're proposing to do is take the remainder of the books, find a home for them in the Main and the Balmateague Library. Not all of them will be able to be there. We're also thinking, and we'd also like to pursue the concept of what you see up there in the last point, is a community reading room. And we do have recreation sites throughout the city. Specifically, we have one at 51st and Marlette, one at 6600 block of Missouri. We have one at 54th and Ocotillo. We have a Glendale Adult Center at Brown and 59th. And also at the FRAC, there's also, if you've not been there at the FRAC, there is a child care room, and we will look at housing appropriate materials in that area to encourage folks to not only go in and avail themselves of the books, but to use them to read them. It wouldn't be a formal library. We're just not in the position of being able to do that. But we do envision setting up a formal reading area that we hope would tie folks back into the Glendale Public Library system. Mike, can you move to the next slide? Now, there are some financial considerations that go with this. And this slide here kind of takes you, the board, and the audience through those considerations. The offer to purchase the library is it is $5 million. When you back out the costs associated with relocating and transforming the library into this new Foothills Library Technology Center concept, you would come away from it at the end of the day with about $4.1 million left over. That would be money that's not earmarked. It's not for us to earmark that. It's for the mayor and council to earmark that. And they could choose to do that appropriately. However they would want to do it, they would do that as a part of their budget process or a part of this process here. Now, there would also be some savings, just like everyone knows when you have a home or a car, you got to change the oil, the tires need to be replaced, sometimes you got to put new shingles on the roof. This facility here is no different, and we have about $2.7 million in capital improvement money that's available, that's been set aside and budgeted for what we call the out years. That's beyond 5 years. Over the next 5 years, we will not see that money. It's in the out years. So in year six, the money might be there. It still might not be there, depending on how the economy goes. But the important observation here is we have programmed $2.7 million, so we can come in, we can re-carpet the place, we can put a blacktop down in the parking lot outside. If the HVAC system goes away or crashes, we can get that repaired. And that's the amount of long-term money that we would no longer have to plan for. In addition to removing that from consideration, there would be annual ongoing savings to the city, taxpayers, to the organization of right around $380,000. And that's because of the scale and moving it from this facility to the Foothills Library and Technology Center concept, we wouldn't need the same level of staffing as we would here. Now, what that also means is there would be no full-time staffing options in doing that. We've held positions open in the library, not at the expense of customer service, but we have available positions in the library where we would reassign staff members as appropriate if this were to go through. And just a caveat, we obviously at the staff end, we have received a lot of email, as have the commission. This is not a done deal, okay? This is direction, and as the chair said, this is all about engaging the public and going through the proposal. So no decisions have been made on this. I want to assure you of that. This is all fact-finding. Mike, if you go to the next slide. There are some other opportunities that may occur, that would occur, and these would largely stem from what Midwestern University is prepared to offer should the deal move forward, should this become a viable concept. The main Midwestern University campus library would be open to all Glendale residents Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m., and although the focus is that of a medical library, residents would have access to the university's reference librarians while visiting and to some of the resources there. Residents would also be able to use, should the transaction go through, this particular facility. They would be invited, welcomed here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. As it stands, part of the proposal is to include the Chihuly in the sale of this property, in addition to the 24 hours in the Sonora Desert. Midwestern University understands the significance of that and would leave the building open during those times for folks to come and look at that and peruse that. They could also come here, they could use the rooms as appropriate. If they have a block watch meeting, if they have a homeowners association meeting, if there's a special class that needs to be done here, that will still be made available to the Glendale public. One of the things that Midwestern University has also discussed and is prepared to act on is they would want to use this facility for science enrichment programs for high school students. Just as Mike had mentioned a little earlier, STEM, science, technology, education, and math, they too believe in those philosophies, and they believe in trying to mentor the next tier of engineers and architects and doctors, and they're prepared to use this site for that very purpose. As I mentioned, the meeting rooms currently for public purposes here will continue to be used for public purposes. It has to be appropriately calendared, obviously. This concept would not be a change to the current practice. Midwestern University would also be prepared to offer continuous health awareness programs at this new site, and as I mentioned, that's currently going on. It would allow users to use the parking lot to access the dog park. As many of you know, that's the spot to use to get to the dog park, so you'd be able to continue to exercise with your pets and go out there. And then in addition, the last two points are, as I mentioned earlier, there are some items that will need to be replaced here, and Midwestern University is willing to properly maintain the facility and building using their own resources for that. They do not want this to become a blight, and they would invest the appropriate amount of money to make sure it looks good and is well maintained. The final note is they are currently also in discussions with a nonprofit group to potentially house a veterans administrative services type activity here. And it would be earmarked for veterans. They would be able to come here and receive therapy and or just general assistance. And they are currently in the process of working on that. What we'd like to do now is what we did do is we we looked at all this and we said we need something to look at, something we can show the public and the board and the council and the community. And we took the liberty to just create some conceptual designs of what this concept is and what this might look like. And I want to place a special emphasis on these are conceptual, so they're certainly have to change the process. But these are just something to show the audience and the community basically what we're talking about. And I'd like Mike to kind of to walk through that. I know the print is fine here. He'll read that out. And I think he's got a pointer as well, and he'll go through all that. So, Mike, if you could do that.
Thank you, Eric. Chairwoman Ahorn. Appreciate it. As Eric mentioned earlier, this is a concept. You know, it is scaled, but it's not scaled in a way where we don't have flexibility and if we wanted to make changes based on public input or sale of the building. Can you hear me now? Are you going to have to hold it close? Okay. So, this is the aerial view of the conceptual agreement. Should the sale of Foothills Library take place, the concept drawing is to move into the existing frack building. These are the existing frack walls. So I will start from the western point over here. I do have a laser pointer going. We do have a drive-up book drop located over in the lower left corner. We would have a western side entrance that would lead into from the west side. We would also have the lobby entrance that would enter in from the east side. This is the proposed adult area where we would have computers and adult book stacks. We would have our multi-purpose program room over here. And then we would also have a digital media center that would have green screen and high-tech equipment in there. So if you have any entrepreneurs or high school students working on AV production programs, that would be located in this area. Continuing over in the lobby, we would have soft seating in the center. Currently, there is a concession stand area over here with additional soft seating. Moving further east, this would be our proposed youth area. We would have soft seating in the front as well as computers, and possibly a tablet dispenser right here, tablet or laptop dispenser. Book stacks arranged, more comfortable soft seating here, as well as our public service desk. Continuing on, this would be our proposed western side entrance. This would be your proposed view of if you come in from the western entrance. So this would be our proposed adult computer area. Book stacks along here. We would also have book stacks along the walls and the edges as well. The public service desk would be on your immediate right. On the left would be a proposed multi-purpose room and the digital media center that we had mentioned earlier. This would be the proposed view from the staff desk. It would give us good line of sight views down the aisles, as well as frontal views of the digital media center and the proposed multi-purpose rooms, as well as the computer area. This conceptual drawing is the multi-purpose room and the digital media lab. We would also drywall this, and this would be storage for youth supplies and storage room supplies as well, and be a drywall. This is currently the catering kitchen at the frat facility. This is a proposed view of the youth area. We had mentioned like having tablet or laptop dispensers, computer area, soft seating, and then the book stacks would also mirror the windows of the wall, the profile, and this is currently the activity room in the frack center with the public service desk with good line of sight views here. Okay, and with that, I will turn it back over to Mr. Strong.
So, board members, this is the last formal slide of the presentation, and we did present this to the mayor and council on February 3rd at a workshop, and they directed us to go out and meet with the Library Advisory Board, the Parks and Recreation Commission, and the Arts Commission. Those are the three city committees and commissions that are most impacted by this potential concept and this potential discussion. And what they basically indicated was go out, engage the boards, collect any public commentary you can, and we been doing just that. For those in the audience who are not aware, we do have a special website set up for this. It's on the city's homepage, and we are capturing every single comment that comes in, every email. We're trying to get all the newspaper articles. Our intent is to collect all that and return to the mayor and council later this spring with everything and let them know what we discovered through this conversation. At some point, we will ask the we did ask the Parks and Recreation Commission, and we will ask the Library Advisory Board. We will also ask the Arts Commission to take a formal vote on this, whether you support it, you don't, whatever you think, and we will share those comments as a part of this exploration. So we're trying to be very, very open about this. No decisions have been made, and we are in fact-finding mode. Once we do that, once we present that, the council will decide at that point if it's worthy of moving forward further or if they would like to conclude the discussion and move on with other matters. Really, that is the essence of the presentation. We've got certainly Chairperson Abram, we have statistics, and you will probably have questions, and we'll do our best to answer that. One important thing, if we don't have the answer for it, we'll capture it, we'll write it down. Just as we said to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission the other night, we will share all of those questions and all of the answers with you so you can make a good informed decision on whether or not the concept has merit, and you can make that recommendation to the mayor and council. And with that, I'd like to turn it back over to the chair. We're kind of done with our staff presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stewart, Mr. Depp. You're on a fact-finding mission, and we're on a fact-asking mission. I think the members of the audience may find that their questions will be answered by questions that board members may be asking as well. I'd like to start with board member Shelley and see if she has any questions to present to the gentleman.
I do. Should I use my
I'm concerned about personnel at the library and how this might be affecting them. How many positions are going to be affected by this?
Chairperson Shelley, what we do is, our board member Shelley, what we're currently proposing is we're going from 11 FTE equivalents to 7.5 FTE equivalents. With this type of concept, for the reduction of the book stacks or book material going from 174,000 to 35,000, plus with the technology and the new computers, it calls for a smaller staff footprint in order for this facility.
So 11 FTE to 7.5?
Yes.
Right. Yes. Will the new staff, will this reduced staff be doing work not related to the library that they're currently doing now?
No, they will be doing city and library related work.
You mentioned something about, one of you in your comments mentioned something about the Midwestern librarians helping patrons as well.
The question was, I mentioned something in my presentation about Midwestern librarians also helping Glendale residents in the medical library. Yes, I did mention that.
And that is, they would be doing that here in this building as it's proposed?
No, that would be in the medical library itself.
To answer medical library questions?
To answer questions that they would normally answer in that facility, correct. They would not be answering questions about the Glendale Public Library. It would be made open to Glendale residents to go to the Midwestern Library, and the focus of that is more of a medical nature.
I see. Thank you.
Okay, I have quite a few questions. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. My first question is, when did Midwestern approach with this proposal?
Did everyone hear the question?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Midwestern University sent us the initial letter of interest in February of 2014.
February of 2014.
Correct.
So 1 year ago.
Correct.
And whom did it approach? Did it approach council?
When you look to acquire or purchase city property, the first person you typically go to is the city manager. And the city manager is where the roads kind of lead to with respect to this. And a letter was sent by the executive management team of Midwestern University to our city manager.
Okay. And when was it presented to the former council?
We had a series of closed sessions because it involves a possible real estate transaction. It was initially presented to them, I believe that was in March of 2014, that time frame.
And why did the city decide to sit on it until February of this year? That's such a short time.
A little earlier in the presentation, I went over the fact that we had to do an appraisal. We wanted to validate that appraisal. We commissioned a second appraisal. There was some due diligence involved. You don't rush into these things, and you don't take them lightly, particularly if it involves the acquisition of city property. We want to make sure we're trying to do the best, make the best decision for our residents and for the community. So to answer the question, there was no delay in pushing this out to the public. We went through our due diligence process. We had a transition of our elected officials. If you recall, we had elections in November. And rather than rush out and engage without the new council members knowing, we wanted to wait until they were seated, brief them. They then provided us with direction in December to move forward and have a public conversation on this.
Is there a reason it wasn't presented in January and you waited until the end of January to inform the public?
We did not receive direction until mid-December, and we have an agenda process we have to follow, and we follow that process, and the earliest we could get it on the docket for public workshop was on February 3rd.
And what date was it announced publicly?
It would have been, typically, that's a very good question. What we do is we post the agenda the Wednesday before the Tuesday meeting, and I don't have a calendar in front of me. That would have been the very last Wednesday of January is when it became public and official.
Was it posted anywhere besides the agenda? Because I don't think the majority of the public looks at the agenda. So being such an important item, I didn't do anything to get it out there to the public that we had something this important going on.
To answer that question, the posting of the agenda is done by the city clerk's office, and there's a formal legal requirement we have to follow. We follow that legal requirement, and we did not post it. We didn't take out ads in the newspaper. We followed the normal process for the posting of the agenda.
Was that before or after the Super Bowl left town?
Question. The Super Bowl occurred on Sunday, the 2nd, I believe. 3rd? 1st? Thank you. This was discussed on the 3rd.
The following day after the Super Bowl.
2 days.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have any ties to Midwestern, or well, does the city have any ties to Midwestern University?
You got to clarify ties. So many by ties.
Is there the year that Glendale purchased the land and built the library? Our mayor was former mayor Elaine Scruggs. Am I correct?
It would have been in 1996, and she was mayor at that point in time. Yes.
Is she currently on the board of trustees at Midwestern?
Yes.
Does that cause any conflict of interest with our former mayor being on the Board of Trustees for Midwestern University?
I can't answer that question. I'm not a lawyer. I don't
know. Can we find out?
Seriously, I can't speak on, I can't, I'm not going to answer that question.
Could we find out? Would that be possible if it poses a conflict of interest?
I could certainly ask the question and we'll note it and we'll follow up on that.
Thank you very much. I do have a lot more questions, but I want everyone else to get a chance.
Yeah, keep going.
Western to build this exact replica across the street on land over there.
There you go.
Even not including the land, how much would it cost to build this exact library in today's price? Do we know? Did we get an estimate?
We've not been asked to do that.
Could we ask? Could we get an estimate for the community sake?
That really is not something that we're prepared to do at this point. What we're doing is we're responsible.
Conversation is between the board member and Mr. Strunk. We will continue with their conversation. We're observers. I will suggest, however, that perhaps you have two or three more questions and we can proceed to the next board member.
Absolutely. To answer the question, though, this is regarding a possible real estate transaction, so we've not done that analysis.
Okay, thank you. Just a few more questions for now. How many hours total was Foothills Library open? How many hours total is it open each and every week?
36.
And how many items did Foothills Library get out to the public with only, I'm sorry, was it 39 hours a week?
36.
Can you tell me how many items we got out last year?
Last fiscal year, we checked out 666,000 items from Foothills.
666,000 items in with 36 hours. So
that
isn't exactly a lot of open hours. So would it make sense that that may be why the people coming in to get books is dropping and the loss of programs?
No, it would not, because we have done it. What we have done a apples-to-apples comparison to keep in mind. We have used statistics that are logged in with the state library. I know a lot of banks is on for statistics. We used the public library data report. It is an official document that gets submitted for our library. It's basically our annual report that gets filed with the state. We have changed our hours a couple times with the economy. The hours were changed per council direction on July 1, 2010. Previous to that, they were changed prior on July 1st, 2009. As I answered that question, and also for the Parks and Rec Board, too, was that there is a steady decrease in print material circulation for Foothills, reflective of the same time period that we were talking about.
Last question. Have there been less programming here? Because if there's less programming, it would bring less foot traffic, I would imagine, I would think.
Our program is slightly down. It's not down as one would think with the reduced hours. With this proposed concept, I would actually look to increase programming because we would have new high-tech equipment, so it would bear the stand reason that you would have programming for the public to learn how to use the equipment. So I would actually look to increase programming. I'm doing my own assessment as a new library director. We've got very good programmers on staff, and we'd look to actually increase programming.
This is my third time to listen to this presentation. This is the third time that I have heard this presentation. So I have listened to it from at the mayor's workshop. They did a presentation for us and for the Glendale, Friends of the Glendale Public Library, and then of course Monday was at the Recreation Park presentation. So some of the questions that came up, one question that came up from the Glendale, Friends of the Glendale meeting was the 9,100 square foot. I think the question at that time was, is it truly 9,100 square foot that we're looking at? Because we're going to be sharing two meeting rooms at RAC. And there is an area that has a curved wall that would not be a usable space. So possibly we're looking at 6,100 square feet that we would be using. Is that correct?
Members of the board, the notes we have, there would be a 3,000 square foot library for juveniles and adults. The kitchen area would come out to about 500 square feet. There'd be 2,900 square feet of meeting space for classes and programming. And there'd be 2,700 square feet available for the youth area of the library. And when you add all that up, you get about 9,100 square feet.
But those two meeting rooms are the ones that we're going to be sharing. They really are. We'll be sharing those, right? Those two meeting rooms, is that correct?
Yes. You would be sharing that with the scheduling item you would have to work on.
And then we understood that for the children's space here, it's 5,500 square feet. And you are allowing 2,700 square feet in the new for the replacement library.
We would have, we're looking at two potential pieces here. There would be 2,700 square feet for the youth area, and then we have the 500 square feet for the family multi-use area, and that would be geared towards kids, younger kids as well. And there was a slide in there that showed that with the window.
So the 500 square feet, is that where the kitchen is right now?
Correct, that's the idea.
And according to, there were some patrons over at the recreation area, and they were concerned about that we were going to take over that kitchen, because the kitchen is being used for special classes, cooking classes. And so what would you be doing for those special classes for the Recreation Department?
It's a very good question. There are actually two kitchens at the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center. As you walk in, there'll be a large window and you'll see the teaching kitchen. That's the one that's heavily used. That's the one that when you think of special interest classes in using the kitchen, that's the one that's used. The rear kitchen, according to the staff and according to use patterns, isn't used heavily at all, frequently, infrequently. And I have Ms. Lori By here. She's the manager of the facility. So if you have specific questions about the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center, I'll put her, I'll ask her to respond to those as well.
Okay, thanks. And then we are going to be taking over the billiards and the tennis table area, is that correct? And again, that was a concern at the Recreation Department, a gentleman advised us that he specifically is going into the recreation area to play ping pong or tennis table tennis. And then he just joined February the 2nd, and then he found out that the tennis tables will no longer be there. So what will they be doing with those for that child?
With regard to the table tennis area, that would be converted under this concept, this proposal, that would be converted into the youth activities area, the youth portion of the library. That would go away. And when we talk about this concept, there is a change that would occur if it moves forward, and that would be one of the changes. We'd obviously try to redeploy elsewhere, whether at the Glendale Adult Center or potentially elsewhere in the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center. But in all essence, it would most likely go away and be used in one of our recreation centers elsewhere.
So, just a comment going forward with this would be, I just would feel very sad to think that we're going to take a 33,000 square foot space, 175,000 book collection, the artwork, and then move it to an area that only is going to allow us supposedly 9,100 square foot, 35,000 book collection, and no art. And also, I just want to remind the audience that in 2012, there was Save the Library campaign. And that campaign was, we came through for the city because the city had requested that the citizens increase the sales tax. And the whole concept, the one for us anyway, the concept was that no library was going to be closed. Now, they're telling us this is not a closure. This is a replacement or a relocation. he is a council member, and the reason why I'm saying that, not that he's still neutral, but he really made a big effort at the meeting when they did the presentation for the workshop to make sure that the commissions, the Library Commission, the Recreation Commission, and the Art Commission had a formal hearing on this. I know they said that they were going to do it anyway for us, but it was really important that they get our advice, and I really appreciate Bart Turner for doing that. So, thank you.
So yes, going back to the art, I know Velvet Teague, right in beautiful downtown Glendale, Main Library, right in beautiful Sorrel Ranch Park. And this is my first time here, and it's beautiful. I love the chandelier, the area, the outside. If it does get moved, what happens to all the artwork that comes? Is it sold with $5 million, or what happens to it?
I think that's an excellent question. The proposal is to keep the chandelier here. It would be sold with the transaction. And the 24 hours in the Sonoran Desert, if you walk out here and were to go down that way, you'll see the nice glass panel artwork on the wall. That's a little more integral to the structure, and it's a little more difficult to move. That would remain here as well. Certainly, we could discuss, if this were to move forward, about relocating either of those two pieces if there's interest in retaining those, but a part of the offer is to keep those here as a part of the purchase. The only other piece of art, public art that's here that came out of the Arts Fund are the magic doors, and we would be able to use those down at the... We're in the process of getting ready to remodel Velma Teague, and we would place the magic doors down there.
I had a concern about the numbers, and I've been listening to the numbers of books that seem to be going elsewhere. And my concern is for the education community that uses this library, specifically teachers who come in and get boxes of books to use in the classrooms in their community, both in the charter schools and the public schools. These books disappear from this area. The schools in this area will be lacking in some literature and curriculum books. Are you going to be able to get these boxes of books that the teachers pick up now to them?
Board Member Sumber, yes, we would. And meeting with the staff this week, I met with the Foothill staff, and they went at length to ask me about the teacher kits and the teacher boxes. That program will not be affected. We will continue to have and provide that service. One of the things, too, I mentioned a little bit earlier, we have budgeted for something called Collection HQ, where we can tailor and get exact subjects of what Foothill residents want, what Main Library residents want, and also what Velma Teague residents want. With this software, we can get down to very specific if people prefer travel books to the Bahamas over Las Vegas. We can do all kinds of teacher kits. If we know that there's a certain school that has, say, a project on famous biographers or famous... We need to have biography books on famous people or presidents. It'll tell us that, and then we can accommodate it. So while I know there's a lot of angst going from 174,000 to 35,000 books, this software will help tell us that, too, in addition to the staff expertise. I truly believe that we will make the collection actually better and also utilize staff time as well. So.
No way.
One more question. Back to the art. The chandelier's been appraised and the other items also. And where would the money go? It wouldn't go to the library funds, would it? From the art?
Another very good question. In an earlier slide I showed you, I went through the numbers, and that $4.1 million included the replacement cost University the Arts Fund. It didn't come from the library fund to begin with. We would put it back into the Municipal Arts Fund. That would be the intent.
As a teacher, I'm kind of looking at things. I have several families that use this facility, and they come up here. And I have to be very honest with you, this is a question and a comment vote. When I look at the diagrams, the proposed pictures here, I don't see the warmth. I don't see the invitation to come in and spend the time in the facility in that area. People who are visually oriented in that sense to be able to feel that warmth and be drawn in. Will there be plans to make it less technical, sterile looking?
Okay, I'll answer that one, Board Member Collette. Going back to the drawings, that is our starting point. This is a concept that can't be changed. If you want to see fewer computers and more book stacks, we can make that happen. One of the things, it depends on the purview of the council, you know, based on the sale of the building. This is the starting conversation. So, you know, obviously if the council or the building gets sold, we would have to come up with a plan. This is the starting point for that plan to make those services. This is the starting point. If it gets sold, obviously we would have to hire an architectural firm, and that's where you would get those kind of fine details where you would see, we're dealing with this seating vendor, we're dealing with this book vendor, we're dealing with this furniture vendor. So this is just the starting conversation. So you'll see more frills should council decide to sell the facility, but this is just the starting conversation.
Okay, let me clarify just a little bit. I'm not against having the computers and the updated technology at all. I think we need the balance. I think we need the balance, and I understand the way you're moving to a smaller area. But aesthetically, too, I'm looking at that it's, I don't see the warmth. I guess that's my purpose in what I'm saying there. And that kind of thing, because this building does feel that warmth. And the families enjoy coming in here, and the kids come in, and they're in here. I've been in here with my nephew. I don't have children of my own, but I have a lot of kids. But it's over the last several years, I've been a teacher, and I have heard that they like coming here for that very reason. I just wanted to clarify that. Then I have one question, because it's been brought up about how long this has been known and how long the proposal's been in the work and everything. I have to tell you, this is my comment at this point. A staff member at my school saw me here last week because the meeting got changed. And she didn't say anything to me last week. Then she just said, oh, you're on the board. And I said, yes, we have a meeting tonight. She said, well, I was up there last week, and I wanted to reserve a room, and I was told I could not reserve a room because as of July 1st, the building would be sold. That was her comment, and I don't know who she talked with. She didn't know, but I'm just telling you that that's what she said.
No, I can categorically deny that. There's no secret sale going on, and I don't know who she spoke with. I just looked at our administrative librarian should go, and where's that coming from? Now, okay. That is not the case.
I just wanted to share, because that to me that was a real shock to have someone tell me that. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Before we continue with the last two board members, I note that it is getting close to the time limit that I had expressed. I'm willing, if we're allowed, to extend it 15 minutes, gentlemen.
Your discretion, Chair.
Okay, I would like to hear from those of you in the audience, at least some of you. However, I do note from the reactions that I'm observing here that we're asking the questions you're thinking about. So we're going to go forward with the next questions from Council Member Wilson.
As a Vice Chair Wilson, I have some questions that I prepared. First is, I live in the Cholla District. I've lived here since 2003, so this is my library. The initial memorandum proposing the relocation states the Community Services Department recently conducted an internal staff review. What type of community input did the library gather to reach a conclusion on what services the proposed Pratt Library should or would offer? What type of community input did you gather to come to the conclusion that this committee wants the technology center?
We have not engaged the community. This is the first session. So I'm answering your question, yeah.
Thank you. The library was purchased, and this reiterates Board Member Galuka's question, which I had the same question. The library was purchased in 1997, 1998 for $7.7 million. And today, it's going to be sold, or proposed to be sold, for $5 million. If we were to replicate this library today as it sits, what would be the estimate cost to build such a library?
As I indicated earlier, we have not done that analysis. What we're discussing, so we've not done that analysis.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to kind of bounce around here. Some factual questions. What is the total occupancy? Because I've heard everyone speak about square footage and numbers of collections of books, but I haven't heard total occupancy. Of all the public spaces in this library, the Foothills Branch Library, and what is the occupancy of all the library spaces that are proposed for the Frack Library? How many people can fit in this building, and how many people can fit in the proposed Frack
Library? Vice Chair Wilson, that's a fire marshal question. It would depend on, the room occupancy. It depends on the designated areas. We can look into that, but that is not the purview of the library. We can assign those numbers.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Depends on furniture as well, I've been told too. So there's a number of factors, but that is not a figure that the library can provide, but I can certainly reach out to the fire department whomever I need to get that follow-up.
Thank you. Okay, what is the total amount of public access computers available today at Foothills Library, and how many will be available in the proposed space for adults, teens, and children? How many computers will we have access to in the new center?
Currently, we have 38 public computers at Foothills. We would go to 60. That would also include, if we were to go, tablets and laptops.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
I have an observation and then a question. Teens require their own space and not to be paired with children and the parents of those children. It doesn't appear that the space is adequate, nor is it a separate space for teens. So how many people will be able to fit in the activity room, and how do you propose to separate the teen space from the kids/parents space?
I would defer to checking into that with the fire marshal on the occupancy part.
Okay, when you walk into the Frack Center today and you go to the right to the activity room, where is the proposed kids, teens, and parents space? There is a posted sign that says the occupancy is 42.
Commissioners, I'm Lori Vibe, manager of the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center. That is an estimate that we as staff put up for that room, because of the monitoring of they're mainly youth that are in there, and the activities that go on. So we came up with that occupancy of that room. That's not from the fire marshal.
Okay. Can we find out what it would be when shelves and counter space and computers and seating is placed into that room? So we have a better idea of how many people we can accommodate. Okay, I have another question. The library paid $4,999 in August of 2014 for appraisal number 2. And according to the Follow Your Money feature on the city's website, it came out of the library book fund. Can you tell me what the fund is for and why the appraisal was paid for with the money from that fund?
Yeah, I can answer that question. There's two separate library budgets that we have in play right now. One is the general fund budget, which we call our 1,000 budget. That's the money that is granted to us each year through the mayor and council when we go through the budget process. Right now, that sits right around $4.1 to $4.2 million for the entire library budget to run everything, to pay everyone, to buy the books, and so on. In addition to that, we also have what we call development impact fee money. It's a separate budget, and we recently increased that from $200,000, and we're proposing to increase that to $500,000 in the upcoming year. But that's a different pot of money, and we use that to purchase new books to meet the demand that citizens may have for certain items. The third part of it is we have something called our 1260 budget, and that's the one you're referring to, the Library Book Fund. And that typically is proceeds from the book sales, from copiers, from general sales that occur in the library in general. And that typically ranges anywhere from $120,000 to $160,000, depending on how we're doing each year. So that swings. That's something we call a self-sustaining account. And in that account, we do fund certain operations. We use it to pay for the copiers that are on the floor, so when patrons come in, they're able to make copies. We collect that money, and it reimburses. It pays for itself. There was a line item that was used to pay for the second appraisal, and the second appraisal did land in that $1,260 because of the professional contractual. There was, sorry to get kind of budget speaky here, but there's a professional and contractual line item in there. We did use that. I did authorize that one-time payment to pay for it. Now, we do have other expenses that are off the books that have popped up over the year that we're going to ask for salary savings to replenish. It will be a wash, and I've already had a conversation well before this item was made public with our CFO to make sure we reimburse that. And that conversation was held in September or October of last year. That's when we had to pay the invoice. We used that account to pay for the invoice. So the long story short is we are reimbursing through savings elsewhere in the department that item. And that's fairly typical in city budgeting. And it is on all the money. There's nothing to hide. And it will be replaced.
Thank you. Okay, a couple more questions. I love the idea of makerspaces, ThinkSpot, Tech Labs, Fab Labs, and all of that new technology. If this relocation is not to happen, can we still do these things at the Fab Lab?
This question came up at our council meeting on the 3rd, and it came up at the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. And I'm glad you asked the question this evening. The answer would be yes, but we need the resources to do it. That's the key thing, and that's how that was answered. So if we are able to accommodate different needs, we want to grow with the community as well. We want to provide the services the community wants. So the answer would be yes, but contingent upon having available resources.
Okay, so a follow-up question then. Can a 3D printer, green screen, increased broadband, et cetera, can that also be paid with other funds such as E-rate through the federal government and also funding through LSTA at the state library?
I'll answer that too. As to E-rate, I would have to research on the E-rate. As far as grant writing, we would be able to, we do have several excellent grant writers on staff, so we could do entrepreneurial grants. We can do grants to help underwrite and fund those things too. It's called LSTA, Library Services and Technology Act grants. It's federal money that gets scrubbed through the state library on a competitive basis, so other libraries compete for the same pool of money. So yes, we could.
Thank you. I have one last question. And so this kind of wraps up. This is the 3rd presentation I've seen. Once at the workshop last week, once at Parks and Rec Monday night, and I've also reviewed it online, which I encourage everybody to do. So my last question is, so prior to 2010, the library was open 69 hours per week. It is now opened 36 hours per week. So the hours were almost cut by 50%. And now, with this proposal, you're talking about an increase of 13 hours per week, which would bring us to a total of 49 hours per week. But that is still 20 hours less than the community once enjoyed from this building. Okay? So if the physical space is also going to be reduced, the book collection is going to be reduced. And I know because I'm an avid user of all of the digital downloads, the ebooks, the digital magazines. I use the library's website, so I know that is something that we've had for years in the request system where you can get the items from the other system. So my question to you is, how is this being presented to the public as an expansion?
Okay. That's a good question, Board Member Wilson. We would have new technology. Eric mentioned earlier, we currently do not have the resources in our normal budgeting to afford these services. This is an expansion of ours. The new facility would be open 13 more hours a week, which would equate to 676 hours. So what you would be looking at, a library that would be open Monday through Saturday. So it would be open 6 days a week. We have a tentative schedule of Monday from 10 a.m. to 7, Tuesday 10 a.m. to 7, Wednesday 10 a.m. to 8, Thursday 10 a.m. to 8, Friday 10 a.m. to 5, and Saturday from 1 p.m. to 5. So in the regards of getting new equipment and extra operating hours, that qualifies as an expansion of library service.
Thank you very much, board members. You've actually asked some of the questions that I had as well. First of all, my first question was answered, so I'll skip to the next one. As a resident of the Yucca District in the southwestern part of Glendale, we too are taxpayers and we have the opportunity to utilize this facility. However, I did not visit this until meeting on Monday for the first time. I was impressed by what I saw, and I am interested to know if it would be possible to have an overlay of the current floor plan and the proposed floor plan in some way available so that those of us who are not familiar with the building but do pay taxes and want to come forward to voice our opinion on this, that we can understand the changes that are proposed.
We will do our best to accommodate that, absolutely. We'll follow up and we'll let you know that.
Thank you. The conceptual drawings are sometimes kind of difficult to understand, being present in the building very often. It has been acknowledged that the appraisals did not evaluate the same criteria. Therefore, it was focusing on the second appraisal. I'd like to know, was it done on-site in view of and with cooperation of staff, or was it just using numbers and drawings?
No, to answer your question, in both appraisals, they were on-site in building appraisals, walked around the facility appraisals. Photographs were taken, interior, so everything was looked at within the confines of this building and the exterior. And for those who may be interested, we have posted both of those appraisals on our online website, and they're available for public review and look. And you will see that it was a very comprehensive appraisal. It was not done from a desk far removed from the facility.
Measurements were taken, evaluation of the structure also?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just came across it about 10 minutes before I had to leave the meeting, so I didn't have a chance to read it. But I do hope that all of you will have an opportunity to review that. Did the appraisal, the second appraisal, did that include the value of the artwork?
No, it did not. That was done separately.
So $4.7 million was the building and the land?
Yes, correct. And it was done with no personal items, which are the furniture and computers and everything else. It's looking at the building and the land, correct?
So at the council workshop, I too have observed the presentation three times. At the council workshop, you identified the value of the Chihuly as $400,000 and the Sonoran Desert as $85,000?
The Chihuly was purchased for $200,000. It was recently appraised for $400,000. The 24 hours in the Sonora Desert was purchased for, I believe it was $85,000, and it appraised for $120,000. And because we're proposing to take the magic doors, we did not get those appraised.
$400,000 plus $120,000 plus $4.7 million, isn't that more than $5 million?
Yes, it's 5.2.
I've just been struggling with all the math coming through on this. It just kept nagging at me that something wasn't adding up, so I thought I should get clarification on that. I was going to ask you about where the budget money came from for the second appraisal. You've just answered that. The appraisal of the art items, was that done because this offer came through?
It was done primarily, yes. The answer to that question is yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
That'll make us move through things a lot quicker. Okay, where in the budget did that money come from?
That we used the municipal arts fund to pay for that appraisal.
Makes sense. Thank you. And there was talk, Mayor Wires had proposed possibility of moving the artwork to another location, and I thought he said it would cost between $85,000 and $100,000. And would that also come from the municipal art fund?
Correct, Chair. That is correct. We did do that quick analysis, and it did turn out between the $85,000 to $100,000 range to just move the Chipotle portion only, if that decision were made. Correct, and that was from the arts fund.
To pay for a facilitator, if we go forward with meeting that money, is that coming from the salary savings budget?
Yes, it would not be out of the library budget. We're a very large department, as I mentioned earlier, and we are able to use salary savings with the approval of the city manager for certain projects, and this would be one of them if we're to move forward.
Could you clarify what that part of the budget refers to?
Sure. For the benefit of the audience, salary savings are those. Every year you operate, you have folks that come and go, and you don't have to spend money on salaries to pay them. So it's still in our budget. We're still good for it. We still have the credit, and we are allowed to use those to a certain point to either help pay for temporary assistance or unannounced projects that come up during the course of the year that we need to find money for.
Thank you. I was going to ask you to use the chart to demonstrate the money numbers for me, but I think we've already gone past that one, so I will ask if Midwestern University has indicated that including the art is a deal breaker.
Midwestern University has indicated that if the Chihuly were to be relocated, it would not be a deal breaker.
But they would change their offer.
The offer would stand at $5 million. However, we would be able to move the Chihuly elsewhere if that came down to it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Is the $5 million offer on paper, is that a public document and available to the public for review?
Yes, it is. And how we've had requests for that just very recently, and we've released that to the public records request. Certainly, if it's something the board would like to see, we'll make sure we provide that to the board.
A show of hands, board. Are you interested to see it? Okay, show of hands.
Sure. It's a public document, so we just have to get it online.
Midwestern plans to use the building as a, quote, study hall concept for students and faculty, end quote. If the facility invites the public patronage, are there any municipal requirements regarding on-site security? As an example, in our December meeting, we were in the main meeting room at the large meeting room at the main library. An HOA group had a meeting next door that had some very excited folks in in the session, and our security called the police to be on site just as a precaution. So are there any requirements for security or for policy for somebody to call the police if a meeting is at hand?
There are no city requirements of which I'm aware. If you have a meeting and you feel something's out of line or out of order, you have the discretion to contact the authorities, and they will show up as appropriate. So, but there are no, I'm not aware of any city requirements as you have to have police officers in certain facilities for certain times. I hope that answers your question.
Another question came to mind, and I lost that one, but it'll come back. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, does Midwestern currently own property, pay property, or other taxes to the city or the state?
No.
I'll research that with our tax and license division and respond back to you. I don't know the answer to that question. I will find that out.
Okay, so that if they purchased this facility, I was curious to know whether they would pay taxes to the city for its use.
Yeah, I'm not a tax expert, but I will check into that for you.
Okay. Okay, I think that's the end of my questions. I will extend our time period because we're past the cutoff. I was going to allow for public comment. I'm going to look at the... We have 33 comments. I don't think we're going to get past that. I will allow 25 minutes until 8 o'clock when the library does close for the other part of it for your comments, and I'm going to take them in the order received. Board Member Feluca.
I don't want to be out of order, but I think this is just a request. I think that everyone took a lot of time to come out today, and it's really important that they get heard. I know that we're all on a time schedule. We have to work and we have our children, but an issue this important and people actually coming out of their homes for this. If they don't get heard, they may not be quite so happy and want to continue on. So I think it's a request.
As an educator, your point is well taken. I appreciate that. I will note also that we do have some other business items on our agenda we need to discuss, which are listed for at least 25 minutes. But I do also want to hear from you, so we're going to start with the first card on our list. Okay. First one on our list. Jean Martell. Let me offer just a couple of little guidelines also, which I neglected to mention before. First of all, that we are a board that is advisory to the council. We will not be taking a vote this evening. We ask that you direct your comments to the board, preferably to the chair. Please stay focused on the item. No personal attacks. If so, I might have to use that little gavel again. And please do not be afraid to yield your speaking time if someone ahead of you has already said it. Just indicate that you are supportive of the perspective that's expressed by the other person. Thank you very much for taking time to come forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can everybody hear me back there? Yeah. Can everybody hear me back there? Yeah. Okay. I think. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Can you hold up for my place?
Is that better? Okay, my name is Gene Martell. I live in Arrowhead. And Madam Chair, members of the council, I appreciate what you're doing here this evening. Just a couple of comments. I think it's extremely important. The term that I heard this evening was due diligence, Mr. Serber, city staff. And I appreciate where you're coming from and what you're doing. That's a tough job. A lot of people in here are very impassioned about this. This is a library. It's part of who we are. It's part of our community. We moved here back in 2000. It's the first thing we did. It's got a library card. This is what we need. This is what we live for. I appreciate coming here on Saturday mornings and kind of fighting with the guys over the IDD. You know, it's great. But due diligence, I heard a few times, and I hope that that's what you pursue. Due diligence alone without transparency, however, can't be detrimental to this whole process. I encourage you, please, be as transparent as you can. Has a cost-benefit analysis been conducted on this whole project? And if so, we would like to see that. That is important. You know, what we've seen here on these diagrams is great. But a lot of people are also asking the question, is it necessary? Is it possible that a recommendation from this council be presented to the city council that says, we don't want to do this? Is that a possibility? And you don't have to answer that, but I just want to make sure that there is indeed that level of due diligence, proper due diligence. Many of the things that that have been expressed this evening, bear with me, many of the things that have been expressed this evening are coming from the heart. This is a library again. This is really a part of the community. And if we try to denigrate that in any way, that hurts. One of your drawings that you have up there showed the Foothills Library being in the northern part of the city, and you have two other libraries in the center and the south. Yeah, I appreciate that. But you just passed it. Right there. One more. Number one, two, and... Well, actually, the next one. Right there. If you look at the Glendale area, you see 1, 2, and 3. You're getting rid of 1 in essence, okay? I know you're replacing it with frack. practice going to be sort of a combined facility, very efficient, but is that really the most practical approach for the city? And I really hope that the due diligence is done in that regard. We're not opposed to change, but a lot of things people have seen in the city over the last 10 years, the good intentions from the city have not really been conveyed properly to the public. And the public needs to have that level of transparency. And forgive me for looking at the city management folks, but you know, you're the folks who have to take this back and work through this. I understand what you have to go through. So please, whatever you do, do the diligence. Make sure that the frustrations that we all have been addressed. And if in the end we find that this is not a good idea, let's be bold enough to say that it's not a good idea and move forward. Thank you very much.
If we could keep the applause to a minimum, we can get through more people faster. I appreciate what you said, and your point is well taken. Tia Boudreau?
Hello. I've been a patron of Foothills Library for all 16 years of my life. I visit the library every Wednesday and rarely miss a day. I spend most of my time in the book section. I love reading, and having this library made me who I am today. I learned to read at this library. I still have the same lanyard and library card I was given in first grade from the Ready, Set, Read program that they had at my school. I check out 20 to 40 books a week to this day, and I'm constantly thankful I have that opportunity. My current goal is to read every book in the young adult section, and I only have two columns of books left. I plan to continue on to the adult section and then probably start all over again with the new books. And I don't think that's something I could do with e-books and a lowered, like, number of library books. It would be a different experience. I love the feeling of turning the page when reading fascinating books, so an e-book just isn't the same. I love the library as it is and will be deeply saddened if I and future generations won't continue to be able to have what the library has now. Anything the library is to lose in this suggested transition will be a great loss for this community. I've also heard that some of the library's beautiful artwork will be lost. That artwork had a huge impact on me. These cannot simply be replaced, and neither can all library patrons' fond memories of them. We shouldn't have to lose them. The area the library is planning to move to will suffer as well, as has been stated in recent arguments. To me, this is just not a decision that's beneficial for the patrons of the Foothills Library or the Aquatic Center. And personally, I really don't think it's that great for the community. I'd be willing to give almost anything to save my library, and I beg you to preserve it as a wonderful place it is.
Until I started hearing that the library was going to $5 million. And it's just very upsetting to me, my daughter, my entire family. I hope it doesn't happen.
Thank you for your comments. Tara and James Tribault.
Hello, my name is Tara Tribault. I come to this library with my kids at least once a week. This is my oldest. I ask you to preserve this library. Preserve it for the actual books that are here. Every week, we come to this library with a small list of books, and this is what we walk out of. Because we find interesting books on the shelf. We don't come here looking for these. We find them because they have interesting titles and interesting cover art. And my kids explore these shelves, and I find them sitting in the aisles reading books, and we take them home and we read them, and their world and their mind is better because of how much material they have access to here. So I ask you to keep the library. And as a Glendale resident, this is owned by Glendale. I consider it part of my personal possession. I'm a Glendale resident. I paid for it. And I think you should keep it. Don't sell this treasure. Don't sell it. Just keep it as it is. Of all the assets that a city can provide to its citizens, a library is one of the best things that you can give. And like my son James, he wrote a small paragraph as well.
I'm James. I don't think you should sell and reduce the library because there are lots of awesome books in this library. I found all of my favorite books here, which include long series. Last year, I read 240 library books, totaling over 44,000 pages. Question number one is a two-parter. How old are you and what grade are you in?
I'm 10 years old and I'm in fourth grade.
Bingo. I taught fourth grade for 5 years. My husband taught it for 30 years. Question number two is also a two-parter. What school do you go to and is there a library at your school?
I go to Chandler Charter School. There is small classroom libraries. That's usually about two or three shelves that you can pick books from. But this one is much bigger.
Thank you very much.
Books from people who love books so much.
activities for age and what school she goes to, grade level, and do they have a library it's actually for?
I'm 8 years old and I'm in second grade. I go to Legends Wings Elementary. And I do have a library. It's very, very big.
What school district is that?
Deer Valley. Thank you.
Carolyn Lowe.
Partnership opportunities to provide a study hall for all those students and
be a win-win that might include consumer health or who knows what, but there are many, many potential ideas besides this, and I would like to know if any others have been brought up. And then lastly, while we're talking about these current books, the 170-something thousand, I'd like to be sure that the book budgets, no matter what, which we can address later, are maintaining for new books, not that this stagnant number is just all we have and that we don't get new books and continue to update. That's all for now. Thank you.
Chairperson Abor, point of order, you had asked for within a 10-minute window of 8 o'clock, and I just wanted to make you aware that you had asked for the staff to let you know when we were within that 10-minute window.
Thank you very much. I would like a straw vote from the board. Are you willing to listen to the entire list, hands only, please? Yes or no?
Yes.
We'll go forward. Thank you very much. I think this is very interesting way to learn about what the community feels. I think we've taught you a lot by the questions that we have been asking also. Would also like to invite you to visit the city's website and read through our minutes. I think they go back to 2012. Minutes of our meetings, because some of the questions you have and then how books are processed, how books are purchased, may be answered on reading those minutes. Our next person is Lenore Little. And also, I do ask that you try to keep this to 3 minutes, please. Otherwise, I may have to institute a timeout on each speaker.
Thank you very much. My name is Lenore Little. Many of us here in this room tonight have given our entire careers to this library. In my case, it's 27 years until I retired in 2009. Several of us were part of the team that designed and built this building, so you can tell by my voice, it's a very emotional thing for me. I'm going to try to set emotion aside, however. Most of the people that have spoken thus far and your questions indicate that the things I wanted to address, such as what's being lost in this library and in the frack facility, have been addressed. I'm not going to reiterate those. I would, however, encourage you to have a healthy skepticism regarding the conclusions derived from the statistics presented in support of this proposal. Many of you remember our college classes, statistics classes, and one of the classic textbooks was How to Lie with Statistics. And it's a great book, and it's still used in the classroom today, I'm told. Based on the data provided in our packet, the decrease in circulation is shown dramatically because it's from 2010, fiscal year 2010, to fiscal 14. If you simply look at fiscal 12 to fiscal 13, the rate of circulation dropped less than 2%. To me, that is practically insignificant. Also keep in mind that electronic circulation, which is the big push, remains only 7% of the entire circulation of the library. I'm not against technology, however. Please know that. Having lived elsewhere in the city, or the valley, excuse me, for the last 2 years, my husband and I made the decision to move back home. We bought a house in North Glendale, and our decision was based in part on this library. But now, I'm having very mixed feelings. I'm not speaking as a retiree of the library. I am speaking as a resident now of Glendale, once again. And it's my hope that the mayor and council will not support this decision or this proposal. The city is in a deplorable financial condition, we all know that. But to punish the residents for the irresponsible fiscal decisions is in essence holding the wrong people accountable. I urge you in your capacity as the Library Advisory Board to please communicate to the Mayor and Council the wishes of the residents. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. John Jansen.
Okay, a lot of things have already been said. Just going to take time to say a couple of things here. First off, our youth is the life of our city and the expansion of where we're going. It isn't the stores that exist and things. That's not going to be what holds Glendale together. Or our civilizations. We need places to educate our youth, and we need libraries to support that. This is really key stuff. Let's stay alive. You know, do some things. And the next thing I'd go to here is, if as Midwestern, you know, they're a great thing to have here in the valley, but or, you know, it's part of our valley. But really, as a good partner, if they really feel they have to have this land, find another piece of land within maybe a mile, build us a brand new library just like what we've got, and use that square footage is what you're talking about instead of giving up and putting it into three houses. My God. Right now, based on the size of what you're talking about, you're going to have a lottery system for people to be able to come in and use your library. You've got more hours, but you've got a heck of a lot less seats to put people in. Yeah, let's get real. Let's support the people in Glendale. This is ridiculous to be able to roll over and give up because of a budget item that's been created, you know, by overspending where we shouldn't be able to, you know, as a city. Back off in what we really don't need. But let's put the kids first and make this happen. The rest of us old people like to read too.
Thank you very much. Kristen Murata and Jake. Jen Danes Dines.
Hi, my name is Jen Dines, and I'm here as the president of the Hidden Manor HOA. I'm here with some of my neighbors who took the time to come. We live right at 75th and we support the library. I would just like to encourage everybody that's here tonight. I feel very strongly that the library board values the library as much as all of us. People have said such insightful things. Please send these comments to the council. I know it's a lot of work, but it does matter. We're still in a democracy, and your voice can matter. So these are our allies. They feel the same way we do. Please send your comments to the council. I'm just going to add one quick thing. I am part of the statistic on top of the increased e-reader. But I think it's important to notice, just like we had somebody say, that's only 7%. It's really easy when you start with a small number to grow it. It doesn't take any effort at all to double one. It takes a lot of effort to double 1.6 million. So I check out e-readers, but I don't think it should be at the expense of the library. I still check out paper books. I still check out real books. I don't support any changes to this library to buy more electronic data. We're part of the Maricopa County library system, as you pointed out. I've never had a problem getting a book that I want. And then I just have a question. You mentioned all those great partnerships. I, too, heard that interview on NPR about how libraries are moving into the new era and embracing this change. But how many of those partnerships were at the cost of a library? I would challenge you that there's no library that says close the library so that we can go be in a snack bar.
Thank you very much. Char Sharp.
Have heard this presentation multiple times. My name is Char Sharp. I'm president of the Friends of the Glendale Public Library. The questions that I would have would include, why are we doing this? Where is a detailed risk analysis? What is the COE for the sale? And for those of you who don't know, what's that? That's a close of escrow. So when is it proposed to be completed? And if in fact we do go forward and the library is closed, moved over to the rec center, why doesn't technically advanced than the current place we have right here. In addition to that, as far as the other reciprocal libraries, where is their position as their volumes increase when we no longer have this facility to go to? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sherry May. Thank you for your courtesy in sharing that with us. Bruce Arthurs.
My name is Bruce Arthurs. My wife and I have lived in Glendale since 1985. We've had library cards since 1985. A few quick points. One, if Midwestern University were to start converting its own current library to a mostly digital format, like Glendale is supposed to be apt to do, they would free up the space for study halls that they say they need this building for. They would also probably be able to do that, start that process for much less than $5 million. They'd probably save several million dollars. If they are able to save that much money by staying in the current location, my suggestion is that they should make a gesture of donating $1 million of that savings to Glendale Public Library for upgrading equipment and increasing the digital inventory here. Second point, Mr. Strunk said he does not know how much a new library equivalent to this would cost to build from scratch. However, Glendale has had a proposed West Branch on the books for many years. And I'm sure there is some estimate for how much that facility, which I assume would be similar to this, would cost. Do you know that figure, Mrs. Strunk?
$17.3
million. Third point. Mr. Beck.
Excuse me, if I could interrupt just momentarily. The rules of order require that we do not answer questions. We are just here to accept public comments. So please, if you want to discuss it with specifics, you can talk in the body.
I apologize.
Third, final point. Mr. Beck has said that the future is digital, that library is going to be more and more digital. One of the examples he cited was the bibliotheque libraries in San Antonio, which have no printed books at all. They are completely digital. I happen to have brought a photograph from one of the bibliotheque branches. The patrons there are crammed in elbow to elbow at these long, sterile, white workstations. It does not look like a library. It looks like a commercial call center. Mr. Beck, if this is your vision of the future of libraries, we have a problem. I find this photograph ghastly and horrible. This is not a library of the future. This is a library from hell.
Thank you for voicing your opinion. Our next speaker is Ron Myers.
I'm chair, members of the board. Just want to let you know, first of all, that I appreciate what you do. I know it's volunteer. I'm the former chair of the City of Glendale Personnel Board, so I know what you have to put up with sometimes. Anyway, my name is Ron Myers. I live in Arrowhead Ranch, Arrowhead Lakes, actually. And I guess the first question that came to my mind is, who thought this up, and what's the advantage to them for buying this building? What is Midwestern really going to get out of it? You know, I use this library, perhaps not as much as some of you. Well, obviously not as much as some of you. I bring my grandkids over here. I have my 9-year-old granddaughter back here sitting with me tonight, and I told her 2 nights ago at dinner what the proposal was, and her first response was, "Well, that's stupid." Half the fun of bringing the grandkids here is to let them look at the covers of the books, pick out what book they want to look at. You can't do that with a digital file. You've got to look at a book. Now, I saw in the paperwork that was handed out tonight that there's X number of spaces in the parking lot at the rec center. Well, guess what? Whoever figured that out probably never tried to park there to go in to use the fitness center during the summer when the pool's open. There is not going to be enough room if you put the library there. There won't be enough parking spaces. People will be there with their kids to go swimming, and you're going to have people dropping a heat stroke in the parking lot trying to walk a quarter mile to the building. It's just not going to work. I've looked at the conceptual plans for where the library will go, and the people that dream this up probably gave no thought to the kids that use the pool room and the ping pong room, because that's going to go away. So where are these kids going to go after school? What are they going to do when they come in now for nothing, for free, and play ping pong, play pool, and meet with their friends? They won't have that space to do that in if this happens. Also, on the information I got tonight, it was mentioned that Midwestern University would offer space to the citizens of Glendale to use at their school for various things. I remember when they first opened, they used to have public meetings that people could go to. Different groups could reserve space at the college and use some of their meeting rooms. And after about a year, they said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We don't let anybody else come onto our campus and use it. So what's to keep them from doing that again in the future of saying, sorry, no more Glendale residents. This is just for people at the school. Because they sure did it before, because I've been to several meetings before they cut us all off. You know, Glendale has a sordid history of poor decisions by our city government, such as the Coyote Stadium and the baseball parks, which are just money pits for the taxpayers. Why are we continuing to allow our public officials to make these dumb decisions? The citizens of Glendale should not have to suffer anymore because of poor planning by the city government, and thank you for your time.
Stacy Bitter.
Well, I have been a Glendale resident for 19 million years. Came out here for school from Illinois. I have loved the libraries. I currently use the e-readers and things, but there is no substitute to having a good book when you're in the bathtub reading. Sorry, on, drop a Kindle, you will electrocute yourself. Trust me, I'm trying. I don't know what to say other than getting rid of the parks and recs portions that the teens use. Eric knows me. I'm a very firm believer in getting the youth and the teens involved and keeping them busy, because that way our property taxes stay down, because they're not trying to graffiti everything. And, you know, there's other things that can be used. This particular library, when my parents moved in over 20 years ago down in southwest Glendale, we were promised a library at the, what is now called the Heroes Regional Park. This library was built instead. Why would you get rid of a library that you built instead of giving us our little library down in South Glendale? Get rid of this library, which I understand you guys use it and it's great. I come up here and use it frequently too. But to get rid of one library, trying to then start to build another library down at Heroes Regional Park just doesn't make sense. It's not fiscally responsible. I would say to the government of the Glendale City Department, Council, etc., this is just not a smart move for those of us that own property in Glendale. Thank you.
Thank you. June Bittner.
Hi, yes, I am Stacy's mother, and I have a totally different outlook on this. I am totally opposed to getting rid of this library. I come up here 2 to 3 times a month to take out hard copy books because I like the feel of the book in my hand. For me, I live in southwest Glendale. However, when I get on the Loop 101 and swing around 59 and come down to this library, time-wise, it's a good use of my time. To go to all of the other locations that you said we could get books from is ridiculous. There are too many places to go. I want to come to one library and get what I need. I'm also a senior citizen. I also do not walk well. And if you look at the picture of the parking lot at Foothills, there are very few handicapped spots. If we are going to keep those exact same number of handicapped spots as opposed to all the ones that are out here, there are going to be many senior citizens who are not going to be able to use the library. They won't be able to walk that far. I have many days when I can't walk that far. In addition, there was supposed to be a daytime meeting on this issue. I had been told about it when I came the last time to get a book. However, there is no daytime meeting. I called the city of Glendale to find out when the daytime meeting would be. I don't drive at night. Fortunately, my daughter was able to come tonight and bring me. Otherwise, I could not come. I think you do need a daytime meeting for those senior citizens who cannot drive at night and who would like to get their input because they come to the library and get books. They don't always have an electronic way to read a book, and they don't want to. First of all, their eyesight may not be good enough for the electronic books. I do use the electronic books, yes. I also like the reading books because then I have an easier time reading it. Small print is difficult. And for a senior citizen that's trying to read on a telephone, that's difficult. So I would request that you do not get rid of our library here. I would like to have you put one down by us like was promised 25 years ago. That would be great, as well as a swimming pool that we were supposed to have that we don't. However, I think you need to take into account the seniors in this town. There are a lot of us, and we come to meetings when we can. Make one in the daytime so you can see how many seniors will come, because they're all here getting books during the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lynn Pinda?
Good evening. I will be short. Much of what I had concerns about has been brought up. I am a teacher, and I want to compliment our 16-year-old up in the front. I thought she was very eloquent, and I think what you expressed is a lot of why we do need to keep our library, because kids need places to come and check out books. And the space that's being offered is not a good substitute for what we have. Our Foothills Library is a well-used resource in our community, and I encourage you to keep it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. William and Tracy Carpenter.
Peter to pay Paul.
Hello, my name is William Carpenter. I do not want you to sell our library because there is no other library close to our house than the Summertime Leicester, and I get prizes to read books. We also play there and go to the puppet show. One time we made paper airplanes with Papa. If the library closes, we will not be able to do these things anymore. Please do not close the library.
I would just encourage everyone to use the telephone. Call the city council and express your views. Yes. Thank you.
Joe Russo.
Okay, first I'd like to thank the advisory board for extending this time. I attended Monday's meeting, and I kind of had the feeling of everybody in the room having been just woken up and given bad news and not having time to process it well enough. This is very heartening, and I'm really proud of everyone here. I live at a Glendale mailing address, but I am not a Glendale resident. However, I believe I have a right to speak towards this issue due to the years I've been coming to this library, well before the Maricopa Library Board went through. I paid first $10, then $15 every 3 months to keep my library card. I also have spent a few hundred dollars over the years, I'm sure, at the discard section at the Foothills, as well as the special book sales. Now I find where that money's going. Plus, I do most of my shopping in the city of Glendale. There were two reasons for paying to become a member of this wonderful library. The first was that for years I couldn't afford a vehicle and depended on both public transportation and a bicycle to get here. For those who now depend on public transportation, there is no better catalog for miles. My other choice was Phoenix Library's Juniper Branch on 19th Avenue in Union Hills. Aside from the problem of distance, that library has nothing on Foothills in the way of selection and atmosphere. It is truly a branch library, a satellite of Phoenix Central, whereas to call Foothills a branch is a bit misleading, as for many in the North Valley, it is the main library. I much prefer the atmosphere of this to any of Phoenix's libraries. No offense to Will Bruder, the Phoenix Library's architect, but I find their modern design to be uncomfortable and sterile, much like this new proposal. When I first walked into Foothills as a teenager and saw the Chihuly glass sculpture hanging from the high vaulted ceiling, I thought, finally, someone in the city is combating the stereotype of this area having no culture. I still incorporate it into my bike rides along the Skunk Creek Trail. The design of the building is modern but welcoming, and it's kept me returning nearly every week for many years now. This is something that the city of Glendale has over Phoenix. When Frack went up and the bridge was built that made 57th Avenue more accessible, I felt like Glendale was moving forward. The Jazz and Blues Festival in downtown Glendale, along with the first Super Bowl, certainly added to this notion. Now the festival, which drew excitement acts from around the country, exists no more, and one of the central assets to the downtown area, Mad Hatter's Antiques, closed its doors a month ago, which is frightening considering the way a central business draw affects other businesses in the area. This, along with money problems already mentioned, is a black eye for the city of Glendale. Whoever's fault this ultimately is, I'm afraid that those in charge of budgeting for the city will take this downward trend as an excuse to cut funding on programs that they believe the public no longer cares about. In this case, I believe the decision to downsize this library will cause irreparable harm. Lastly, and most important, when 12 News covered Monday's meeting, the takeaway for the reporter was that, for these residents, this is a books versus digital media issue. For those who believe this is a gross overgeneralization, let me explain why the reporter's assumption is correct. When I use this library, I often leave with a book title that I've never heard of before. Though I occasionally have a specific title in mind, I usually use the library's computer catalog only to look for the location of fields of interest. Browsing has enabled me to make some wonderful discoveries in various categories, be it material science, modern literature, or ancient wind instruments. When I use an electronic search engine, I can't scan hundreds of titles at once. No algorithm that tries to deduce what we'd like to check out based on our previous elections can appreciate our complexity as human beings. This is why the total size of the Glendale Library catalog is irrelevant to us. When you take away the current catalog and replace it with a pared-down version based on what titles have done well in the past, you take away the element of choice in our discoveries. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'd be honest. have to say, I love, I've seen a lot of presentations in my life. I've never had smoke blowing up my pants like the world says my ass. I have a question. They made a statement earlier. They took money to pay for appraisal of a certain funding for the libraries, but they saved money in another section of the library, so they're going to take the money to save out one section of the library to pay for these to do something else. That sounds like double-dipping to me. I think that money belongs in the library to start with. The appraisal should be done out of general funds, not from the library fund. The library fund is precious. I grew up in libraries in Evanston, Illinois. I've been a library patron for nearly 50-something years. And I just can't believe that you people are going to take from the library. When you take this library and close it, you destroy the neighborhood. You really will. The value of the neighborhood will go down. The property value is down because the people come in and say, first thing that is the neighborhood safe? How is the school? Is there a library? Is there other recreational centers near here? You take this library, shortly thereafter, the dog park will go and the ball game will go. I've known realtors my all my life, and I know about the cornerstone theory and the keystone theory of buying property. They take this and the residents of Downland. So this whole area will be gone to Midwestern University. There won't be no dog park out here. The next one is like 7 miles away. So guys, I recommend everybody get on the phone. If your councilman, the mayor, let them have it. And then say, you know what? You go to this deal. There's a $17 million price tag on replacement of this building. They want this building? $20 million. That's it. $20 million. You go buy some property, 2 blocks down the street, build a new library.
Somebody from Midwestern. And Midwestern is also a jewel in our crown. However, they have their own agenda. Midwestern, the person from Midwestern told me, look at the library. It's the same bricks we have on our campus. And that went into sort of a trash can in my brain. And then when I heard of Midwestern wanting to grab the library in a fire sale, I said, wait a minute, the fingerprints are there. The bricks are the same. So there was something, there was something going on years ago with this. You know, let Glendale build the library and then we'll grab it at a fire sale. Keep the library open. Children need the library for their education. It's just as important as the school system. The other thing I'd like to mention is that the rec center, and I go there probably three times a week, in the summer, when the children are in there for their swimming lessons and whatever, it's very noisy, it's very crowded, and I don't think it would be a good conducive environment for children coming in to use the library. Because you know how kids are. When some are acting crazy, they're all going to act crazy. You know, it's contagious. So it will not be a good library for them to use. The books. I'm not a librarian nor an English professor. But I think the word library comes from Libra. Libraries are books. The building just keeps the books dry. Was it 147,000 books here? And we're going to go to 35,000. I'm not sure whether those numbers are exactly right. But we're cutting the books by 75%. That doesn't sound like a library to me. Please advise the city council not to go through with this deal. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. James Robinson. Jack Shu.
Hi, my name is Jack Shu. I've been a resident for 40 years here. First of all, I want to thank the board for this meeting and allowing everyone to get their comments into the board. My understanding is that this presentation was done to help educate you and to give you an opportunity to vote later on to whether or not you endorse this particular proposal. I must say, I'm disappointed, and I'm hoping that the Glendale staff will improve the way they do it, because they have a first-class presentation here, but it's very biased. If I didn't know better, I would say it was a sales pitch. A sales pitch to the question. So I would implore the board here that when you take into consideration this presentation, that you take it into consideration for what it is. And it's a shame that we get all of the cons or negatives or even some of the statistical facts about the difference in how much the place was built for versus how much we're selling it versus the art and all those other things, which are cons. It's a shame that only those come out when the audience is asking questions or the board is asking questions. So I would implore you that if you are presenting this to the council, or if you're presenting this to boards to help them make the decision, to try and make a more unbiased presentation and show both sides of the thing, because you do represent us, okay? Second thing I want to say is that this is a first-class facility. And I said this before when I attended the very first one over at the rec center. The rec center is a first-class facility.
What they're proposing would reduce both of the to second-class facilities. Once you sell something like this, it's extremely hard to get it back. It takes a lot of tax money, no matter how much you do the estimates and the other things. So I implore you, don't give away a jewel in our crown. Keep it and vote against it, because I sure will if I'm given the opportunity. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, and to the audience, thank you for your patience. Vicki Moya? Carol E. Massey.
I'm Tara Massey. I've been a teacher for 20 years. I'm glad to see that there are other teachers here. And when I have not been a teacher, I have been in library. In libraries, I've been a librarian myself. I've been a librarian in four different states. I've worked for two of the libraries here in Maricopa. I first want to thank the board for extending the time to hear everyone's opinion. I want to say my son grew up in this library. Being in all those different states, and I've lived in seven different states, and I've visited libraries in every one of those states, this, in my opinion, is the best library I have ever been in. There are no other libraries that can actually compare to what you have here in family and community, and the value is of these students. This is what I give my life to every single day. And currently, I'm a kindergarten teacher. And I want to say for the statistics and out there and being in preschool, this plan and what I saw here was my first time. First of all, I didn't know anything about this meeting until I saw the news last night. I am so tired and exhausted by the time I get home. I don't even usually watch the news. I was so glad that I saw that on TV last night so I could be here tonight. Where our system's failing is third grade. And if preschoolers and your children, the future, I submit to you, your children and your community is the future. If those children do not develop a love of reading books, those children don't read e-books. Those preschoolers, five-year-olds on up, if they do not have good quality literature, books to read, different genres, things out there to see, good art, things to see, aesthetics. I can tell you from being in every place, there's no place here, you don't have enough money. There's no place that has the aesthetics that this library has. And the whole time of my, and I'm originally from Ohio, and my entire time here in this particular state of Arizona has been at this library. My son is succeeding at NAU because of this library. And this library extended, which no other library did when I worked in a couple here, they opened up, I worked for what's called a Title I school. And those children do not have the opportunities. And because those parents work in their long hours, their parents aren't able to take them to libraries. They don't have even books in their home. But because of this library, I've been able to bring my students on field trips. And they've been able to get to experience a book for the very first time in their life that they're not even being exposed to in their homes. I can't even tell you the passion that I have for this particular library and all the stuff that it's done and for the children that it has served being here. So, like I said, for no other reason, you will not find this anywhere. And every time I go to a different state, trust me, I go. Because my life has been libraries and books and teaching. So I want to say, and on my paper up there, I support the library. I oppose this move. And I've lived over 30 different places in this state. And it doesn't matter where I've gone, including Fountain Hills, I come back and I check out and use all this. And I am one of those teachers who get those box sets of books. And by the time you are done working all day and doing and having meetings after school, you do not have time to go 7, 10, 20 miles to go down the street to get one of those box of books. You do not. So I'm saying, and from what I've heard from everybody else, the facts and figures do not add up. I love technology. But I can tell you the best thing that you ever have for your children is being the best reader that they can be. The people who've been great in our country and across America was because they were super readers. Tomorrow is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. He didn't have the luxury of all this that you have. He walked 30 miles to increase his brain and mind to become our 16th president. And without having those, he couldn't have done it. Same thing for Martin Luther King Jr., who read every single book so he could make the laws fair for our country. And I support community, and I support families. Thank you.
The no cards, I'm seeing some people circle support that they speak against the item description. So is the support and oppose a reference to the description of agenda item number 5?
Let me see if I can answer that question. If they're not supportive, is that they're not supportive of it? I mean, we'll be able to figure that out in the comments. So if they write comments if they're not in favor of this proposal, we will note that, make sure that it's forward to mayor and council.
I circled the parts of
Yes, I recognized that early on in this, and so I have been putting notes on the back. Very few people put comments on here, so I put a notation on here indicating what the people were expressing. So the support and opposed may not jive with what they said.
Sure, and just for the record, we are taking the minutes of this meeting, and the minutes will be provided to the mayor and council and to you to approve at a future meeting. So we'll make sure we catch them.
Also, for your information, all these notes that I wrote on the back, I put my initials with it, indicating that this was my observation of what you had said. So hopefully I have got all the facts down right. Not everything that you said, I couldn't write that fast. I'm going to type at the same time. Our next speaker is Cheryl Barber.
I'm in support of most of what everyone has said here tonight, but the thing I would like to address is about the public art that's in the space. I know it is. It does say in the notes that perhaps the Chihuly will stay, perhaps it will go, maybe it will hang somewhere else, maybe it will hang from the ceiling. We don't really know. It's valued at $400,000, but maybe that's not figured in the figures, so this really bothers me. I have an art background, so of course I have a real passion for the art that we've put in this library, which I think is a big benefit to the community. I know that the 24 hours in the Sonora Desert can't move because it's installed in the wall, so we would lose that. I would go with Midwestern, and if they're leisure, they would decide whether or not we could come and see it now and then and visit. The Chihuly, I know, may or may not stay. Maybe we would move it at a large expense. But what I do have to say about that is the day that it was installed here, I came to see Dale Chihuly when he spoke and dedicated the piece. And it was an exciting day when he came. Very few people were there to see when it was dedicated. And I remember what he spoke about. He talked about how he chose this library. Lots of people asked him to create something for their buildings. But he chose to come here because it was a small library. It was community-based. It wasn't some huge public corporate building that employees were going to see. And I really found that inspiring, is that he selected us here to take one of his few pieces he created, and he did it for us. For us to move it to a place where it wasn't designed does not seem right. To take it over, let's go hang it over next to the swimming pool. That's I mean, I'm sure that's not what we would do, but it appalls me that we would even think about moving it from the place where it was designed. And the glass doors, I understand those would be moved, but they were built for here. So I just wanted to address the fact that I'm very concerned about the public art and how we seem to be overlooking that fact as well. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Valerie Burkhardt?
Staying and
raised in this great city. My husband and I both own businesses here. We raise our three children here. Every time I'm downtown on the grounds of Velmatique, terrific memories of my childhood come rushing back, picking out my own books and putting in the bag to take home and read with my mom. I went to preschool a couple blocks away, and some of my first memories are there. It is a similar feeling when I walk through the Glendale Main Library's youth section. The excitement of being able to check out the most recent cassette tape with no cost to me as a preteen, and the responsibility of caring for it and getting it back on time. I went off to college, but plans changed. I became a very young, very single mother. This, I knew, was the biggest responsibility of my life. I had no experience with babies, so I hit the library. My beautiful son was born the same year the Foothills Library was born. They grew up together. I found an amazing story time led by devoted librarians inside, some of whom I recognized from my childhood. There were classes that invited me to creatively interact with my child, crafts, puppets, plays, and space, lots of space to find a quiet, comfy corner to read with my toddler. My son, still in diapers, learned to share in the infamous train table and to be fair, to take turns with Thomas and how not to react, even when being hit by another toddler. There were other moms all over the place. We learned from each other, sometimes just by observing each other. We shared developmental achievements, preschool sign-ups and rates, pediatrician likes and dislikes. I found a mom's club that represented my neighborhood, and we held meetings in this space, activities, had speakers and playdates at the library. Some of these women became my children's teacher, lunch lady, school office staff, and PTA president. My daughter, 3 years younger, fell head over heels in love at the Foothills Library. Still today, she would probably rather be reading than anything else. In the summer, the library was full of excitement, but you had to arrive early and get a ticket to see the magician, scientist, or reptile show. We sat and read in the meantime. The place was packed and free. It was our saving grace on long, hot summer days. My youngest son's bedroom now hosts a family youth collection of books. At least half of these paperbacks and hardbacks are stamped with Foothills Library and discard. The price was right, and it created an opportunity for us to have a collection of our own. Years back, when my children were on the City of Glendale baseball, softball, and t-ball teams, it was a thrill to be in Saguaro Ranch Park on summer's nights. They swam on city swim teams. That's all gone. I mention these things because our children have been cheated by adults making mistakes with their money. It should not continue to fall on their backs. We are depleting their opportunities to be in community. We are robbing them of healthy, safe places to escape. We are appalled and offended by this proposal to sell our library. Wouldn't we be so lucky to have our children raise their own families in Glendale? Do you think that they will be interested in that choice as more and more family-focused programs and institutions in the community disappear? They may show up for our next Super Bowl or stop by to see the lights in Glendale glitters while home for the holidays. But don't we want them to come back from college to stay and work and live? Mr. Skrunk said Monday night that the university would be using the building for a study hall of sorts. Midwestern students can use the library for their studying anytime it's open. Why would they need to buy it for that? Midwestern families use the library. They make connections, possibly even deciding to stay in Glendale after graduating. Midwestern gave us a list of classes, clinics, and materials that they would share with us, except most of those things are already currently happening and open to the public. Why physically distance ourselves from those unique circumstances? They said we could access the dog park, but how long do you think that that might last? And what about the baseball fields? In closing, I want to thank you for the wake-up call. I took this amazing community gem for granted in many ways. It's part of my family's existence. We had some friends move into the area a couple of years ago. They just started their family. My first suggestion was to hit story time at Foothills Library, and you will have fast friends. My aunt in Kansas sent me a message this week. It reads, "Is this the beautiful library your mother took me to several times? She was so proud of that place." We cannot take this one of a kind location away from our next generation or single mom or new family trying to make connections and stuff it in the Breck Center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kessler.
My comment's actually in the form of a question, if that's okay. I know I won't get an answer. But I've looked at the conceptual drawings, and there is a really important space that every library has that I don't see in these drawings. And that is the workspace at the back where there's the check-in computers and the shell and the carts where you where the books are sorted and gotten into a shelf. And so I'm wondering how much of the space we're being told will be the library is actually going to be the workspace and won't be available for books or for any of the other things. That's my question.
Thank you for that observation. Lisa Webster?